Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark is a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the longest running podcast on the Section 86 Podcasting Network. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Johnny Ace is in the doghouse for letting Jericho and Punk walk away. Wow, I'm surprised on this. Isn't he Vince's right-hand man?
Well, he took JR's job, his original job that he had with Talent Relations, and Jericho left, you know, last year. It was one of those things that, you know, let's face it, Jericho is a big name and, you know, he is a big star and he would have been really great to have on their roster, you know, but unfortunately he left. And with Punk now, Punk has blown up. And in my opinion, he has become maybe the number three guy, maybe number four guy in the WWE. And so to let him walk, it's surprising.
Yeah. Cause he can go to Ring of Honor, which is most likely what he's going to end up going to, It's very surprising that someone would take over JR's position and screw it up as bad as he has. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets terminated, especially if Ray is next to go.
And this is something that we reported on earlier this year. We said that he was going to leave after WrestleMania, and it's looking like he actually still may leave. And that would be quite a hit for the WWE. This would be one of those things, and we've talked about it before, but I think that if Ray leaves also, you have to combine the rosters. You have to. There is no way that you would be able to do so without it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the fact that he would leave, it's like, where would he go? Would he actually go to Ring of Honor? We just, you know, call it a career. I mean, because I don't see him going to Impact Wrestling for very long. But also, it could be good for him if he was to go there because he would only work, 3-4 days a week? Every other week? You're talking probably 7 days a month. At most, being gone for 10 days a month. I mean, that's a really light schedule when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially how Impact Wrestling tapes. So
for him, it would be, that's what he needs. And that is the biggest problem. And I mean, we talked about this at great length. That the problem is that these people are on the road 6 days a week. And they are wrestling constantly. And with TNA, with Impact Wrestling, you're not doing that. You are taping shows, so you're there 2 days a week, you know, 3 days a week, and you may have a house show maybe once, maybe twice a week.
That is true. Yeah, because they just started doing the house shows just recently. So anyways, so CM Punk utters a homophobic slur and gets on TMZ because of it. And the weird part about this is how he went about it, because CM Punk was calling the guy everything you could think of, stuff we can't even say on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, then it ended like you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really weird.
I would say two things about this. Arnold Schwarzenegger, before he was elected governor, said some really nasty things. I don't know if you knew this, Andy, but he said some really nasty things. But guess what? He was playing a character. You know, he was in a movie playing a character. And he said the F word. And you saw him naked, you know, at some time. The thing is, he's playing a character. You can't get mad at him. If you're watching a TV show and you're mad at the protagonist or the antagonist, I mean, you can't be, because he's playing a character. Same thing. Punk is playing a character, and he's saying something that he even said himself he doesn't believe, and he apologized for uttering it. But he was saying it to get some heel heat. It's like when JBL, you know, he went and he did the Hitler sign in Germany, which is actually illegal there, but he did it to cause a stir.
Yes, I actually do remember that. And to me, I thought it was kind of like, oh, he just got a bunch of heel heat, but apparently that's not heel heat, and some people were talking about it, which I thought was a little weird. So
I think it's blown out of proportion. I think that if he called somebody, you know, a really bad homophobic slur, I could understand that, but I mean, it In my opinion, I think that this is blown out of proportion. And unfortunately, you know, we got to be a little too PC these days.
Yeah, and now, did you hear the latest? GLAAD is going to be working with all the independent contractors out there how they shouldn't be saying stuff.
And I think that's... We're
not going to get into that, but...
Yeah,
you know, I just thought that was kind of one of those things. It's like, okay, you know, at what point is PC still... You know what I mean? I don't know, so... Anyways, let's move on to Raw. So CM Punk has been stripped of the number one contendership right at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big deal. So they have I was confused. Like, why, you know, was it just because of the, was this planned? That's my thing. Was this show planned?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, we know that this was taped. This was planned. I think that it's interesting, though, because when they show the promo on Punk, they don't talk about the Punk doesn't slam Stephanie or Triple H or Doomfist. Johnny A.
Yep.
He only slams Vince. He only says this company will be better once he's dead, and it, you know, then fades out. I mean, they are, first of all, WWE, even if this was not planned, which, you know, now we're getting reports that it was pretty much like 99% planned. Nonetheless, let's say it wasn't. They are taking this and going and running with it. They really are. And to strip him of the number one contendership, you're actually turning Punk into a face by doing so.
That
I gotta
is correct.
Say that you really are.
That is correct, because a lot of people booed once that happened. And you got to think, that's the same crowd that just watched Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And they booed. And I was like, ooh, interesting.
Yeah. So,
but the weirdest part of the show, and I was like, what? All of a sudden, you hear, oh, radio, and I'm like, oh, sweet, Zack Ryder's coming out after a tag match. And he comes out, and he's like, woo, 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 you know it.
And
that was it.
Away.
What the heck was that for? I'm confused.
Two things. One, this was a tape show, and so when they did it, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the crowd reaction was stifled a little bit. He didn't get as big of a pop on TV as he probably got in the arena. And that's one of those things where it's like, that's a little interesting. But the other thing, too, is, you know, we haven't talked about this, but with Punk leaving, which he probably will, the new Nexus, what are they going to do? They need management. And Mason Ryan is nursing an injury, so you have Otunga and McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. What if Zack Ryder feuds with them, or what if he joins them?
If he's the head of the Nexus?
Them. How funny would that be?
It would be funny if he was the head of the Nexus. But I think that he's not that guy. But it would be funny.
I don't think he is either. Now, something else happened later in the show. Alberto Del Rio beat Rey and R-Truth to become the new number one contender. What do you think?
First of all, I thought the finish was kind of weird, but, it, you know, just because Rey took a nasty hit. But, you know, I thought that was kind of... I thought it was weird. Or, no, I'm sorry. He didn't take a nasty hit. He actually took the armbar right away, and then Ray tapped.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird, because I thought that he didn't really work on the arm that much. All of a sudden, he's just like, oh, I got you in the armbar. You know, like, oh, you're going to tap now. I thought that was... I mean, they should have teased a couple times or had him put it for a while. I thought he tapped way too soon. Other than that, it was actually a decent match. I got to give R-Truth some more credit on his ring skills. Even though those guys are completely different wrestlers, the fact that he actually stood there, and actually it looked good with those guys. Like, he actually looked like he should have been in the match. And,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's basically if you take two, you basically took two cruiserweights, and then you put, like, you know, like, not, I would almost have to say a heavyweight, throw them in the match, and then they all work perfect together. So I gotta say that's great for them.
I agree. And I think that doing so makes R-Truth more credible, mm-hmm. and that is what you need, because if you need superstars to step up, I mean, Alberto Del Rey, look, let's face it, he is a main eventer. Even if, you know, he got there in like a matter of 6 months, he's still a main eventer.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to push these people that have been there forever. And someone like R-Truth, who is a former NWA heavyweight champion, needs to be in the main event picture. He really does. So I liked it. I think that was actually a really good finish, and we're actually going to bring this topic up here at the end. But first, let's move into Riley, who beat The Miz, but then The Miz turned around and just snapped and beat the living crap out of Riley. So my question to you, Andy, is this a continuation or is this to end the feud?
Continuation. They're not ending it. And the thing is, the best part about this feud is that it's looking good on TV. And this is one of those few feuds that I don't see it being good on pay-per-view, but if you put it on the, you know, not every week, but if you were to have it, you know, right before a pay-per-view and you have them face, you know, face each other, I think it's a great, definitely a great match. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing where they go with this, because this could continue on. I mean, this is how they should have done most storylines they should have been doing, because you could run it on TV, but then you could say, well, now it's going to be a steel cage match on the pay-per-view. And they're like, oh, man, that free match was really good. I can only imagine if they have that gimmick in there, what it's going to be like. Or even, in all seriousness, this is where I hope they go with this. I'd love to see those guys in a strap match.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, or a dog collar match even. You know, you put the collars around each other and you have the chain connecting the two.
Yeah,
you can either do, one, yeah.
Because, like he was the, you know, one was the mentor, the other one was the student. I think it would actually be kind of neat, basically, if you have them basically together, you know, either with a strap or the dog collar. Either one would be fine, but I would like to see that because that's a gimmick match. And you're like, oh, wow, just think of the match that they had on free TV. It was great. That means the pay-per-view one's going to even be better.
And the last thing I want to add to this, too, is that this feud, while it's, that Riley turning on Miz, incredibly predictable. The big thing here is, though, that they really turned Riley into a big superstar. And to be honest, I thought that he was just going to be a lower mid-carder.
Yep.
And right now he's upper mid-card.
He's
on Miz's level.
And that's the thing. And because of this feud, Miz has made him. And that's the weird part, because he was made because the Miz won the heavyweight title. So you can't say that the Miz was a bad champion now, because you have a ride to come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he looks good because of it. So anyway, so CM Punk tells McMahon that he's going to reinstate Punk or he walks. He even dropped the title in the ring, which I thought was funny. And here's the other thing, too. They rolled footage of the WWE plane landing. The thing that I didn't get, I know that they can pre-tape it, but that was at Vegas. So, I remember the airport and the design of the outside. And I started thinking about it. I was like, all right. So, it taped it landing. Did they go ahead and just waste $5,000 to have it take off and re-land?
Oh, no. They have stock footage. They have stock footage. I mean, think about it. Well, you know, as I mentioned before, I went to the Over the Limit pay-per-view. And they were showing shots of Seattle when it was dark outside. And those shots were taken the night before, because here's the thing. We're 3 hours behind East Coast. So the pay-per-view starts at 5 o'clock here. And those shots are shown at 6. And the other thing, too, is that in Seattle, in the summer months, it doesn't get dark here until 10 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock. So this pay-per-view, which is going on, it's about 6 or 7 o'clock. They're showing us as being pitch blackout, you know? Stock footage, that's why. But here's the big thing, though. Vince went ahead and reinstated Punk, but he said that if Cena loses that money in the bank, he is fired. Now, here's two things to come of this. The first thing is this. WWE has done something smart. The next number one contender for the title is Alberto Del Rio. So now they have a month and a half to build up Alberto Del Rio versus the WWE champion. That is awesome. That is great, because TNA was doing this. So kudos to WWE. But the other big thing here, too, is that, you know, there's a chance, and people have been talking about and speculating, will Punk leave the WWE champion?
You know, here's the other thing that we did, I know what you just said with the number one contender. Did they say what pay-per-view?
He is supposed to be the number one contender for Money in the Bank, quote unquote, but now he's not. Now he's the number one contender for SummerSlam.
Did they say that, though?
They didn't say it.
But it was implied, right? So I'm wondering if, just in case something happens and CM Punk tries to go nuts, you turn into a three-way opposed to just a one-on-one.
Let's get off the rumor mill. Better storyline, Cena wins or Punk wins?
Punk wins, definitely. Because he could see, this is the thing. If they're trying to combine basically, quote-unquote, both brands together, or trying to have one title, basically one heavyweight title, you could do this. You have CM Punk leave. You have him leave, because there's already been reports stating that he is not going to be under contract as of this date. The thing is, You can have him leave with the title if you really want to. Now, would CM Punk do it in all seriousness? He won't. Because as much as he hates the WWE right now, he doesn't want to burn bridges. I know he doesn't want to. I know that he's done it to certain indie people. But when he left Ring of Honor, he could have basically given them the finger if he wanted to. He could have quit right away. Yeah. But he didn't. So if he actually, if he wins the belt, I see him saying, thank you. And then handing it back to CM, John Cena, and saying, there you go. Because the one thing that, I will say about CM Punk that he knows business, a certain business. He knows why CM or John Cena has the belt. There is a reason behind it, and the reason is because he's the face of the company. But he is what he says. He hates the idea that he is the best because he's not. I completely understand what he's saying, but the fact that, you know, Cena said like, I want to face him, I want to face him, something doesn't sit right. How much was planned of this? And I know that I'm getting into some rumors, but how much of this has been planned and how much wasn't?
Well, you know, last week I had a certain percentage. I'm saying 70% was planned, now 30% was not.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to SmackDown. So Cody and Ted beat Daniel Bryan and Zeke. Why?
Ezekiel Jackson.
You know. Ezekiel Jackson,
I'm sorry. I call him the Zeke.
He's the Zeke. But yeah, so what was the point of this match? Was it just so they could, you know, they're like, hey, we're taping. Hey, you go out there and wrestle.
Look, let's face it. They don't know what they're doing with Daniel Bryan, but here's an opportunity. I think this is a book your own segment time for me. This is a great opportunity to do like a four-way for the IC title. And let's face it. That first of all, there hasn't been a good four-way match in a long time, and it needs to be a real four-way match, a tag four-way, not a tornado four-way, because that's stupid. Do a tag four-way. I understand it's like having a tag team match, but who cares? Those are fun to watch. This would be an awesome opportunity, four-way for the IC title at SummerSlam. Or even, you know, you could do a six-pack challenge, even, you know, the six-man. You know, that would also be pretty cool. But anyway, let's... The other thing, though, I would say about SmackDown this week, I was actually—it's very light on content. It was a lot of continuation. The biggest thing that happened was Orton took on Sheamus, but it ended in a double DQ after Christian interfered. Now, two things I want to talk about, Andy. Didn't Sheamus get punted about 3 weeks ago, and now he's fine? In fact, he was really fine like a week after he got punted.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I just got punted, no big deal.
Yeah, and didn't that move, like, end careers? Jericho's on the shelf still because of it, you know?
No, that's Johnny Ace's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that you need to continue with the storyline, and the fact that they didn't. They just kind of were like, yeah, let's pretend this didn't happen. It's like, it's like why they stopped doing the Best of Raw series, because they're like, oh, crap, that feud is just going on. We're saying this is the first time it's ever happened. Let's stop making them.
Kind of like when Michael Cole goes, there's only one Rey Mysterio. Actually, no, there's Rey Mysterio Jr. and Rey Mysterio Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Get your facts right. Now, I got a question for you. Will this lead to a three-way that they desperately need to breathe life into this feud?
Who now? So you have Christian, Orton, and Sheamus? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know, because with Sheamus, he's kind of there, but he's almost like next in line. Because the Christian thing's going to have to end one way or the other at Money in the Bank. It has to end. It's getting annoying. I'm sick and tired of it. If they continue it again, it's stupid. Seriously, because it's continuing way too long. It could have ended 2 months ago. Realistically.
Well, it should have ended last month. That feud should have ended last month. But... here's the thing, though. Orton is the hardcore face. Sheamus is the hardcore heel. And then Christian is kind of like more heel than face, but he's in between, mm-hmm. you know? So would this breathe life into it? Do you think so?
It might. It might throw another thing where Christian can have another shot at it at SummerSlam. You know, that's how I see it, at least. Because you can say, well, you know, Orton pinned Sheamus, but he didn't pin Christian. You know, you could do that.
Yeah. They might do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to HostGator.
Well, hey, if you want to complain about the WWE like CM Punk did, you should go get a blog over at HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host or the WWE, you should check out HostGator.com. you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and an easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling. Abyss vs. Spanky is looking to, well, culminate their feud at Destination X. Big time.
What do you think? What do you think?
I like Spanky.
I do too.
And you know,
I like him.
And this will definitely end at Destination X.
This will be really good because Spanky is the underdog. It's David and Goliath's story. Everyone will be behind Brian Kendrick, and everyone's going to be against Abyss. And this is going to be really great. I think that this actually could be a really good match. You know, Abyss really has to put Spanky over, though.
Oh yeah, he has to.
Really has to put him over.
Now is he actually called Spanky now?
No, he's Brian Kendrick, but, you know, I mean, come on, let's face it, we know him as Spanky, all right?
The only reason I was wondering, because I could have sworn I read somewhere that he actually doesn't own Spanky anymore, that the WWE actually owns it, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're probably kind of like Mr. Kennedy, you know, I mean, it's Ken Anderson.
No, but he was Spanky first, before he came to the WWE. That's what I was referring to, because...
Oh, kind of like the Dudley Boys, but...
Right, know. How they came in, but they can't take... For some reason, I thought I heard it, like, on Colt Cabana's show. By the way, Colt Cabana, Art of Wrestling, awesome. WeLoveColt.com. Anyway, so RVD won the Four Corners match, which is the best match of the night. Hands down, probably the best of the month.
I would say definitely of the month. I mean, I don't know if it's a year, but I mean, it was, look, here's the thing. You get RVD, Jerry Lynn, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels and a ring together. They're going to do some crazy stuff. I mean, it was look, let's face it. AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Great. RVD also. Jerry Lynn, I mean, you know, he's kind of slowed down a little, but still, amazing match. If you have not seen this match, set your DVRs, record Impact. You need to see this. It was very
good. And when can they catch the replay?
It's on Tuesdays, Angie.
Thank you. Anyway, so has Impact Wrestling built up the Destination X pay-per-view properly?
What do you think?
You know, I think they have. I think they should have pushed the six-sided ring a little bit more, but they haven't.
I agree.
You know, they were like...
It was talked about once, you know?
Yeah, and they just showed it. It's like, well, they should probably talk about it, maybe show a couple matches that people had in the six-sided ring, or maybe show Elix Skipper's famous walk-over leg
slam. Oh, wow. That was the Six Sides of Steel where he walked over. Yep. Oh, that was crazy, yeah.
And the thing is, and you're just thinking, like, don't fall, every step he took. And then he almost fell, which is the weird part, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that they have built this up properly. Let me tell you this much. I am incredibly excited for this pay-per-view. I'm surprised. I was kind of, you know, excited for Money in the Bank, like if you asked me a month ago. But I would have been looking forward to this pay-per-view more. But with the CM Punk thing now, look, the next 2 weeks, pay-per-view-wise, I'd tell you to buy pay-per-views. You know? I mean, I really would.
Or go to like a restaurant that actually is broadcasting the pay-per-views as well. That's what a lot of people are doing now.
Either way, though, I think that they've done a very good job. WWE's have done a very good job. So right now, in the state of wrestling, I think that things are really exciting. Now, something else exciting that happened. So Mr. Anderson came out and joined Immortal, which basically makes him turn heel. Do you think that this is a swerve, Andy?
Oh, it's definitely a swerve. Big time. It's completely a swerve. There's no reason why he should have joined Immortal. And wasn't he already a heel?
Heel to face to tweener to heel.
Is he British too?
In the span of 1 year. Yeah. Yeah.
Shaking my head at that. I don't get it. Uh-huh. It's great. Great storylines. I swear some days some people just twiddle their thumbs for 39 hours a week, or 39.75 hours of the week that are like, hey, there's 15 minutes left on the day. Hey, let's just make some crappy stuff up. You know, the show's going to air in about 10 minutes. You guys know what's going on? No. Here, this is what we're going to do. Anderson, we're going to go ahead and turn your heel. So
now, I wanted to ask you, too. So the past couple of weeks now, Sting has been coming out and basically acting like the Joker.
Yeah.
Is Sting the Joker?
I think so.
He turned into the Crow, you know, after the Crow came out. Is Sting basically the Joker?
Yeah, because, you know, Bradley Cooper is doing the Crow stuff, so he's like, crap, I got to do someone else who's died. Heath Ledger!
Too soon. Now, do you actually like it, though? Do you think it's interesting?
Well, it's interesting because he puts the makeup on differently. It's not, like, you know, like, really done perfected what for perfection or whatever. He kind of just puts it on really sloppy. I'll say that's kind of neat. So, and that's fine. He can do that. Him as the Joker, great. Fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like it too. I think it's interesting. And I like Sting. And, you know, I've actually been watching a couple of old videos of Sting. And I got to tell you, I mean, Sting to see the evolution of him is actually really cool. So I like this.
Yes.
Now, Andy, so this week I have a top 10 worst wrestlers of all time.
Woohoo! El Dandy, number one.
Number 10, just breaking the number 10 spot, Maven.
Bull.
You know why?
Why?
Because he could be on the mic and he could hit an amazing drop kick.
He was still good in the ring. I mean,
What else did he do?
In the Royal Rumble. He has not been eliminated yet.
Number 9, Lenny Lane.
The L's. Lenny Lane. Or Jericho, the Jericho. Yeah.
Although, you know what, they used him in a Jericho feud one time. It was pretty funny. Now, number 8, I have Lodi from Raven's Flock. Do you remember him?
I do remember Lodi. Whatever happened to him?
He's dead. I have no idea. Probably.
He's probably dead.
Number 7, Viscera, Big Daddy V, Mabel, whatever you want to call him. He was horrible. He was ridiculous. I mean, he actually, you remember how Undertaker wore that Phantom of the Opera little face thing? That's because Mabel did a leg drop improperly and actually crushed a couple bones in his face.
Ew.
So, yeah, he...
Oh, dude, do you know that Lodi's actually dead?
Is he really?
No. His name is Brad Kane. He's still alive.
It's unfortunate.
Oh!
I'm kidding. I wish him the best. But he was a horrible wrestler. Number 6. The Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Yeah. And he was really bad. He just happened to be tall, and he did nothing. He's actually dead, though.
Hey, before you go on, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. But did you know, I forgot about this, but Lodi and Lenny Lane were actually tag teams.
Or were they really good?
The Lodettes.
Wow.
I'm not making this up, dude. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Go ahead, dude.
Number 5. Someone who we wish were dead. The Warrior. Ultimate Warrior, in fact.
Jim Hellwig.
Look, let's face it. He put on a couple of great matches. But he is a horrible wrestler, and he is my number 5 worst wrestler of all time. Moving on to number 4, Hornswoggle.
Oh, come on, dude. He's not that bad. He can wrestle. No. I mean,
they put him in wrestling matches against Chavo, and Chavo left because, I mean, look, let's face it. That was stupid. Why have Chavo lose to Hornswoggle? Hornswoggle is not a wrestler. He is a little person, okay? He is vertically challenged. He should not be a wrestler. Number 3. And you know what? This says something to have this guy at number 3. Former World Heavyweight Champion, David Arquette.
David Arquette, sweet.
Number 2, the Great Khali. Because he is so stupid when he's in the ring. His finishing move is he chops your head. Okay? That's as bad as the Crush.
That's what he's doing, the Crush now, dude.
I don't care. It's as bad as that. Stupid. All right? That's stupid. Great Khali is the second worst wrestler of all time. And moving on to my number 1 spot. This is something where the apple fell very far from the tree. Number 1, David Flair.
David Flair, is he still wrestling?
No, he's a semi-retired professional wrestler. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, no, he couldn't be that bad, do me a favor. Google, YouTube search, David Flair versus Eric Bischoff. And it's not Eric Bischoff selling, because Eric Bischoff has done a pretty decent job in the ring of selling. David Flair does not know how to wrestle. And he was horrible. He doesn't know how to sell. He doesn't know how to wrestle. He is by far the worst professional wrestler of all time. Now, I'm sure that there are other ones out there that are really bad. These are the mainstream ones, you know. I'm looking for the WWE, WCW, ECW. And, you know, Sandman was like in my number 11, so I couldn't put him on there. But definitely number one.
What about Tracy Smothers?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, you know.
Exactly. No one knows who he is.
Yeah. But David Flair. David Flair, by far.
All right. I'll probably have to come up with mine now. I think some of you are right. A lot of you are wrong. But we'll talk about that some other time. So that's it for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.